spirit sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along the trail that's winding always upward. This troubled world is not my final home, but until then my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my heart beholds the city. Until the day God calls me home. The things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall they're borrowed for a while. And things of earth that cause the heart to tremble, remember there will only bring a smile. This weary world with all its toils and struggles may take its toll of misery and strife. The soul of man is like a waiting falcon. When it's released, it's destined for the sky. But until then, my heart will go singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my heart beholds the city. Until the day God calls me home. Until the day God calls me home. God calls me home.
Good morning, Village. I'm Karen Woodson, the Deacon of the Month for August, and it's my honor to bring to you this morning's scripture, which is taken from Genesis chapter 12. Verses 1 through 5, and also in Genesis chapter 12, verses 10 through 20. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now there was a famine in the land. So Abram went down to Egypt to reside there as an alien, for the famine was severe in the land. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, I know well that you are a woman beautiful in appearance, and when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared on your account. When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. When the officials of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And for her sake, he dealt well with Abram. And he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female slaves, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. So Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister, so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and be gone. And Pharaoh gave his men orders concerning him, and they sent him on their way with his wife and all that he had. May God give us understanding of his holy word.
When is a lie a white lie? You know, someone doesn't tell the truth, and technically it's a lie, but it's an excusable lie. It's a white lie. People ask me, how are you doing? And I say, fine, when really my tooth is hurting from a trip to the dentist. But I know they don't want to hear about my dental problems, so I say fine when maybe I'm not feeling all that fine. Someone asked me if I liked the casserole they brought to the last church dinner. I say, yes, it was delicious. When really I didn't like it that much. Or maybe I didn't even try it because I didn't like the looks of it. You know, I am a picky eater. But if I answered them with blunt honesty, I might hurt their feelings. Or I might make them mad at me. And so to be kind, I tell a white lie. Now maybe Abram thought he was telling a white lie when he said that his wife Sarai was his sister. What harm could it do? Well, in our scripture for this morning from the 12th chapter of Genesis, Abram, later to be known as Abraham, had received a great promise from God. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. And to his credit, that's what Abram did. Abram took God at his word. With great faith, at the age of 75, Abram took his wife Sarai, later be known as Sarah, and his nephew Lot, and his entourage of servants and slaves, and they traveled to the land of Canaan. So far, so good. But there was a famine in the land of Canaan. And apparently, Abram didn't trust God's promise about the land. So Abram took Sarai and went down to Egypt to seek refuge from the famine. God had promised to give Abram a land and to make of Abram a great nation. But Abram was worried about the famine. And so he took matters into his own hands. He went down to Egypt instead of staying in the land that the Lord had led him to. This sermon is the second in a series that I'm calling the Mount Rushmore of the Old Testament. Later this month, Linda and I are planning to visit the American Mount Rushmore in South Dakota. Some of you have been there. You know it's a huge stone carving on the side of a mountain depicting four of our greatest presidents, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, Theodore Roosevelt. Well, if there were a Mount Rushmore of the Old Testament, Abram would be on it. He was one of the greatest figures in Hebrew history. He was so important to the Old Testament that his name occurs 75 times in 11 different books in the New Testament. The only figure that has him beat in that regard is Moses, whose name occurs 81 times in 12 New Testament books. And we're going to talk about Moses next Sunday. Abram or Abraham is typically considered the father of the Hebrew nation, just like George Washington is sometimes called the father of our country. And yet, Abram, like George Washington, was not a perfect man. For one thing, he was the owner of slaves, as was George Washington. And in this story, Abram displayed a lack of faith and lied and treated his wife in a less than noble way. His white lie about Sarai being his sister actually put her in great danger. God had promised to make of Abram a great nation, but sometimes Abram's fears were greater than his faith. He feared he would not survive in the land the Lord had led him to, and so he left Canaan for Egypt. He feared the Egyptians would covet Sarai for her beauty. He feared that if they knew that Sarai was his wife, they would kill him to get him out of the way. So Abram told a lie. Perhaps he thought it was a white lie, and said that Sarah was his sister. Never mind that she would be taken into Pharaoh's court and made a concubine of the king. God had promised to make of Abram a great nation, but Abram really didn't trust God to do that. He was willing to sacrifice his wife for his own security. And yet, God did not give up on Abram. God afflicted Pharaoh with great plagues because of Sarai. So Pharaoh called Abram and said, why did you not tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here's your wife. Take her and be gone. Now you would think that Abram would have learned a lesson from this moral lapse, but he didn't. He did the same thing again in Genesis chapter 20. This time, Abraham was an alien in the land of Gerar. And he passed off his wife as his sister for fear of King Abimelech. And once again, the king found out, and he asked Abraham why he had lied about Sarah. King Abimelech said to Abraham, "You have done things to me that ought not to be done." Abraham's lie was not so harmless after all. Now, you would think that Abram would have learned to trust in God and not in his own schemes. But when his wife Sarai bore him no children, rather than waiting and trusting in God, they devised another plan. The plan was for Abram to take his wife's slave girl, Hagar, and have a child through her. It sounds barbaric, but it sometimes happened in the ancient world that a slave owner would force himself upon his slave, as it happened in this country in the antebellum South. And that's what Abram did to Hagar. But it got worse. After Abram forced himself upon the slave girl, and she became pregnant with Abram's child, not surprisingly, Hagar looked with contempt upon Sarai. And not surprisingly, Sarai didn't like Hagar's attitude. So she appealed to Abram to do something about it. And Abram said to Sarai, "She's your slave girl. Do with her as you please. Well, Sarai treated Hagar so harshly that the pregnant slave girl fled into the wilderness. But an angel found Hagar in the wilderness and convinced her to return home. And Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named him Ishmael. But they did not live happily ever after. Eventually, Sarah, in her old age, would conceive and bear a son, and Abraham would name him Isaac. But when Sarah saw Ishmael playing with his half-brother Isaac, she demanded that Abraham get rid of Hagar and Ishmael. It sounds cruel, and to his credit, Abraham was distressed about it, but God promised that he would take care of Hagar and Ishmael, and they were sent into the wilderness. And God was with them. And eventually Ishmael became the father of a great nation. Now, if you've been following the story, in most of these episodes, Abram comes across as a pretty despicable character. One wonders how he came to be so highly regarded, given his character flaws and his moral lapses and his regrettable transactions. Well, there's one more story we need to remember about Abraham. God told Abraham to present his son Isaac as a burnt offering. Now, I've been wondering, why would God do that? Why would God tell Abraham to sacrifice his son? It sounds more than barbaric. And yet Abraham obediently took the boy to the place of sacrifice. He bound Isaac to the altar. He took out a knife and raised it, intending to kill him. But the angel of the Lord spoke to Abraham, stopped him, "Don't kill the boy." The whole episode had been a test of Abraham's faith. Well, I think that God tested Abraham's faith because many times in the past, Abraham had displayed a lack of faith. His moral failures were many. He left the land the Lord had led him to and fled to Egypt because he didn't trust that God would take care of him. He lied about his wife and called her his sister and placed her in jeopardy to save his own skin twice. He forced himself upon a slave girl and then allowed his jealous wife to drive her into the wilderness. He later sent Hagar and his son Ishmael into the wilderness when Sarah didn't want them around anymore. Now, these were not exactly his finest hours. Well, what do we make of all these stories about Abraham? We see that Abram was both a man of failure, but also a man of faith. He had more than his share of moral transgressions. But in the end, he was found faithful to God. Despite his failings, Abram obeyed God's voice and followed God's leading. He was far from perfect, but as his trust in God grew, Abram grew into a great exemplar of faith. And that is the hope for us. Sometimes our faith is weak. Sometimes we trust in our own schemes rather than God's promises. Sometimes our fears are stronger than our faith. Sometimes we do things that we regret. Not every hour is our finest hour. And yet, in spite of our failures, we can grow in faith too. Every time we share the Lord's Supper, we acknowledge two realities: our sin and God's grace. It was because of our sin that Jesus died on the cross. Were we without sin, there would have been no need for Jesus to die. What God asked Abraham to do, sacrifice his son, is exactly what God did for us. God sacrificed his son as an atonement for our sins to show us how much he loves us. And every time we share the bread and the cup, we remember that Jesus died for us. Every time we share the Lord's Supper, we do two things. We acknowledge our sin, and we receive God's grace. God's grace is greater than our sin. If God could transform a deeply flawed person like Abram into a great man of faith, God can transform us into the persons he created us to be. This table of the Lord is open to all fellow Christians. And although no one should partake of these sacred emblems impenitent or without faith in Christ, we invite all who are sincerely seeking him to receive from this table in the assurance that he who came into the world to be the Savior of all will receive you as his own.
Jesus.
If God could transform a deeply flawed person like Abraham into an exemplar of faith, God can transform us into the persons He created us to be. It may be there's someone here today who would profess your faith in Jesus, receive His forgiveness and grace, and become a part of a new creation as Christ lives in you. If you've never publicly professed your faith in Christ and followed Him as a believer in baptism, we offer you that opportunity to do so today. Or maybe you've been a Christian for some time, but you're not a part of this church family. We'd invite you to join us. In either case, the invitation is to come to the front as we stand together and sing our closing hymn, number 509, Trust and Obey.